Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
All August long, we're doing a Kind of Funny Patreon pledge drive and asking you to chip in on patreon.com/kindoffunny if you enjoy the shows. For real, we're an 11-person independent operation, and we couldn't do it without your financial support on patreon.com/kindoffunny. So thank you.
What's up and welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Friday, August 18th, 2023. Of course, I am Tim Geddes, a forever changed man, because this man, the new face of video games, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
That's me.
Just introduced me to a thing called Slamilton.
Oh, yeah.
Bless, what is Slamilton?
It is a Hamilton Space Jam mashup mixtape, and it's incredible. I've been listening to it for years. It's fantastic. It's something that I would have thought you already knew about. Like,
no.
As I brought it up, I thought you'd be like, oh, yeah, no, I know Slamilton. If you don't know Slamilton, if you've not listened to Slamilton, go on YouTube and search it up. Just type in Hamilton Space Jam. It'll come up. It'll change your life.
It'll change everything. It will change everything. Just like Disney Plus did this morning, Bless. They have heard our cries. I can't believe this happened. It's, you know, we've talked about the year of dreams for a very long time. We talked about the decade of dreams. At some point, Tim Getty's life just started working out. Mm-hmm. The one thing I never thought I'd be given is Disney Plus shows moving off the horrendously stupid schedule of posting shows at midnight.
You don't like staying awake until midnight and going to bed at 1 a.m. so you don't get spoiled.
In our case, 1:30 to 2.
Yeah, with the 2-episode premieres. My thing is, I'm okay with it. It's not the end of the world for me. I think it completely ruins the impact of these shows and causes such a freaking chaotic nature to it all, and it just makes making content out of it so much more difficult. But they announced that Ahsoka premiering next week with the 2-episode premiere, and from then forth, at least for Ahsoka, 6 p.m. Pacific time.
Hell yeah,
let's
awesome.
Go
now. I'm not gonna be exhausted like while reviewing things, you know. I can healthily take notes at my own pace.
I will say,
not try to cram it all in at 12:30
midnight premiere. For the Disney Plus stuff, I think is what broke me on Disney Plus,
because
exactly. I would stay awake every night every week for WandaVision and Hawkeye and like all the different Marvel stuff, the stuff that I cared about, right? I'm doing that, and after a while, these shows just weren't good enough for me to stay up that late. And by the time I'd wake up, I'm like, well, do I really want to catch up on Secret Invasion? Do
Dude,
I really
bless.
Care enough to watch Secret Invasion?
I mean, you're talking to me. Who I fucking love this shit. And like, I'm down, even if it's not that good, I'm still in. I want to be there. I care so much about Star Wars. I care so much about MCU that I'm like, I'm going to be there midnight, no matter what. And I used to watch it at midnight and then watch it the next day again with G.
It was fun at first.
But for me, a couple shows ago, I think it was Mando season 3, broke me. I'm like, this just isn't worth it. So I would just watch it the next morning.
And I would keep forgetting, even if it was a show I was hyped for, right? Like Andor, man. I kept forgetting every goddamn week that Andor was coming out. And so it was just like, I don't know why I'm black and white here.
I was going to say, you look like a scene in Oppenheimer that Oppenheimer isn't in.
Or like, I feel like I'm like in the cover of like a 90s hip hop like album, you know, with the Beastie Boys. I would forget every week of like, I would be getting ready for bed at like 9 or 10 and be like, fuck, I've got Andor in like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Shit.
And it was funny because Andor was the one that I was like, this is totally worth the midnight. I was like itching for it and it would deliver. Then Mando season 3 happened and I'm like, no, all right, cool. And then Secret Invasion, I was like, this is not a midnight show for sure. But I was talking to Sage Carbone and Barrett about Ahsoka, that my one hope for them is that the show makes me want to watch it at midnight. And now I don't even need to do this. So I feel like the quality of the show could be a little worse. You got that, guys.
Hell yeah. I mean,
got that.
The new version of me now goes to bed at 9:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Like I am a early
9:30 poppy.
9:30 poppy is what they call me in the streets. And I Loki season 2 would have been such a, oh, fuck. All right. What am I going to do here? Like, do I got to figure out a different sleep schedule? Because I'm watching Loki at premiere.
Dude.
I am there day and date for any Loki episode, because Loki season 1 was fucking phenomenal. 10 out of 10 season of television. But yeah, like I didn't know what I was going to do if Loki was going to be a midnight release every week. Like that would have broken me.
Yeah.
So I'm happy it's happening. I'll do it at 6 p.m.
Yeah, I definitely will too. I hope that Loki, I hope this works. I hope they keep it, but I'm feeling pretty good about it. Everybody, we will be doing our weekly Ahsoka breakdowns with me and the Star Wars crew, which of course includes Barrett Courtney, Anthony Carboni, and Sage Ryan. And that will start next week. So that's thrilling for everyone involved. I have one more episode of Star Wars Rebels. Oh, whoa, we got a little preview there. One more episode of Star Wars Rebels to watch. And man, everyone was right about this show. You know what I mean?
Yeah, specifically Barrett Courtney.
I'll give it to him, but I can't wait for this.
You're a little freak like us now.
I am. I am a little freak.
He's back in color. Oppenheimer's here.
I'm a loth cat. This is kind of Funny Games Daily, though. Enough about all that movie stuff. All right, TV stuff. We're talking about video games here, and we do that each and every weekday live on Twitch.tv/KindOfFunnyGames and YouTube.com/KindOfFunnyGames. If you can't watch live, though, it's totally okay. You can watch later at your leisure as a VOD on YouTube or roosterteeth.com. If you don't like to watch things, you just want to listen, search your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny Games Daily, and we'll be right there for you. But if you wanted to go above and beyond, patreon.com/kindoffunny is where you want to go. You can get the show ad free. You get a whole bunch of bonus content. We've been doing our Patreon pledge drive throughout the month of August, showing off all of the cool stuff we have. Every weekend there's been free stuff going up for everybody to get a preview of Patreon content that'll continue this weekend. Thank you all for your support. It's been going so well. It's so great to see so many new patrons, so thank you all, and I hope that you enjoy your stay here. Today's stories include Gamescom opening night live predictions, the next Call of Duty getting more open missions, and so much more. Some housekeeping for you, though. A new PS I Love You XOXO is up right now with this crew of beautiful bastards, me and Bless, answering all of your PlayStation questions and giving our predictions for what we want from Insomniac's Wolverine.
Very good discussion.
Really good discussion. Yeah. We got in there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I've thought about the Wolverine this deeply yet, Insomniac's Wolverine, and like going through it with you and going through like the, I guess it could be multiple things, right? Like, that got me hyped.
I feel like we both had moments where we'd say something and be like, huh?
Yeah.
I didn't think about it from that angle. So, yeah, really, really cool. Go check that out. And then yesterday, Greg, Nick, Mike, and Gary spent the day trying out Vampire Survivor's new co-op mode in a sponsored stream. If you missed them killing monsters and making Fantasy Critic deals, that'll be outlawed next season. You can catch the archive over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, just like every single stream we do. A lot of people are like, hey, I can't watch the streams live. Like, why don't you upload them anywhere? They're on YouTube. You can go check out youtube.com/kindoffunnygames every single day. Gameplay for y'all. And then over on Patreon, a new Kind of Feudies up right now featuring me, Raj, and Joey. And it might feature one of the biggest screw jobs of all time.
Oh,
you know?
Greg Miller's on is what you're saying. He's a screw job.
He is a screw job.
He's such a screw job. Also a twist ending.
Thank you to our Patreon producers, Jedi Master Deadpool, Delaney Twining, and Logan Delaney, the Delaney brothers. Today we're brought to you by Liquid IV, but we will tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Bless, yesterday I saw a YouTube comment that said, if I was, what's the word for when you're so thirsty? You're so thirsty.
Like thirsty in a I want waterway or thirsty, thirsty in a like,
yeah, and I want waterway.
Oh, you're gonna die. Parched?
But even worse.
Dehydrated?
If I was in the desert dying and Tim Geddes was trying to sell me Liquid IV, I still wouldn't buy it.
Wow.
That's what I saw.
Wow.
And I have never saw a comment that I'm like, man, you don't know what you're missing out on.
Oh, dude, Liquid IV changed my life.
It's a game changer, man.
Like,
legit, there is a night, just to give like an example, right? There was a night out where, you know, Bless, Michael Hyam, and myself, maybe we're out drinking until, you know, the deep hours of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't take care of myself that night. And I woke up in a super duper mess of a situation. Didn't feel like a human being until like 5 p.m. the next day. Right. But Blessing, he took that. He literally was carrying around like little packets of Liquid IV.
I took it to the birthday party that we went to. And I was waving it around in front of people.
I was jealous. I was jealous.
It was fun, dude. It was like, because people were like debating, like, oh, do I really want to get that next margarita or whatever? I'm like, I bust out the Liquid IV. I'm like, listen, y'all. listen, it's time. I got this stuff, all right? Now, I'm going to keep all this to myself. I'm not going to give it to you. I'm going to use
fucking liquid gold here.
This is my liquid IV, but, like, listen, one of us is going to wake up tomorrow. Let me put you on. Like, this will change your life.
Les, let me put you on to story number one. Sonic Superstars is going to be at ONL opening night live. Jeff Keighley tweets, get ready to grab your player two. And three and four. I forgot this game is multiplayer.
Yeah.
Sonic Hedgehog Superstars news coming Tuesday to Gamescom opening night live. You can tune in live at 11 a.m. Pacific, openingnightlive.com. And remember, of course, it's a big press conference, so we are going to be reacting to it live right here from the spare bedroom. So stay tuned for that. We're going to be live at 10 at the normal games daily time. Greg and Nick are going to be out here hanging out with y'all, talking to the chat. Then we're going to do our live reaction with the normal crew, minus Andy, because he's on vacation right now. So me, Bless, Greg, and Mike. Mm-hmm. Doing Gamescom reactions or Gamescom, yeah, live reactions. And then after that, we'll do a Games Daily as a post show to Gamescom, giving all our thoughts on everything that happened. So it's gonna be a great, fun day of hanging out with y'all. But yeah, Sonic the Hedgehog, Superstars, getting some news. I imagine we get
the release date. When do you think it is?
I mean, all the rumors were October 17th, yeah. Right? Which was the artist formerly known as Alan Wake 2's release date.
Yeah. And also a couple days before Spider-Man 2 and Super Mario Brothers Wonder.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like it's Sega. They don't give a shit. They would just do it, right? Mm-hmm. There's the other side, though. Alan Wake backed out already. So are they going to be smart here, Sega? Let's start here. What's the smart date for Sega Superstars?
November.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think you get out of October entirely. I think you still have the luxury of doing that. I know moving a release date isn't the easiest thing even behind the scenes. Like, there are already things in motion. It was leaked by a retailer. And so, like, There's things in motion already for that release date being the date. That said, the public doesn't have that as the release date, right? And mm-hmm. so, like, I think you still do have that luxury to go, all right, like, behind the scenes, we can shift things, right? Because for this game, I would say that getting away from four games dropping at the same time is going to be good for you, even as a Sonic Superstars, which is a different kind of game. But also, it's a very similar kind of game to Mario Wonder.
I mean, it's the most similar. Like, legitimately, there has never been a closer, like, this is a straight up Titanfall 2 Battlefield situation.
Yeah. Right? And, like, if it was just Mario Wonder and Sonic Superstars, I actually think that'd be pretty neat to have those drop at the same time.
That's because we're
platformer perverts.
Yeah.
But the fact that you have not just those games, but then, yeah, Spider-Man, which is going to be one of the biggest games of the year, right? The conversation is going to be happening about that. People are going to be making content about that. The internet is going to be all focused on Spider-Man 2. And then, yeah, a game like Alan Wake as well. That's just way too much competition. And right now, November doesn't have as much competition. There are games, right? There's that Yakuza game. There is Persona 5 Tactica. There are games in November, but it's not as heavy as October. And Sonic already has that tradition of releasing in November. Sonic Frontiers was November. I think Sonic Forces was November. Sonic Mania, I think, was like summer, but like,
yeah, that was like a May or April.
That was sort of a weird one, but usually Sonic's come out in November, so I think it makes sense. I don't think there's any reason for them not to go that date. I think October 17th was one of those ones where when they're planning the release date, let's say in spring, and nobody's put their flag down around that time yet, it's like, oh yeah, let's do October. But now that we're post Summer Game Fest and everybody's there, it's like, no, actually, let's not do that. And I think we've also seen a good track record so far of developers understanding that and going, oh, Starfield's coming out, and in that case, let's move Baldur's Gate up to this date. Alan Wake 2, seeing Spider-Man, okay, let's move our release date up, right? Like, people are getting out the way, and I think that's a good idea. And
yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I think November feels right. I feel like for the type of game it is, they're going to want it to get around that Black Friday, that holiday rush, because that is what the intended audience is for this game, just like Mario Wonder. The difference being, though, Sonic Superstars, multi-platform, right? Yeah. So it is still going to be speaking to that family audience with consoles that aren't just a Nintendo one. The question I have for you here.
What's up?
2, 3, and 4-player Sonic. I know we're both like about it. Do we think it has online play?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it does.
Yeah.
I think it has online play in Super Mario Wonder doesn't.
So here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I've been talking a lot about the Super Mario Wonder thing. Somebody tweeted at me and showed me from the Super Mario Wonder website that me and Greg were talking about this a couple days ago, about, I wonder if there's anything that is to the contrary to the tweet that was put out that said local multiplayer. And there were a couple words that were talking about multiplayer needing on or not needing, but like online multiplayer needing a service. So it could just be generic talk about Nintendo in general, but it was on the Mario Wonder page. So we'll see.
Like, here's my thing is, if Mario Wonder does have multiplayer, isn't it going to be trash? Like, isn't the like, aren't you going to have so much latency? Aren't there going to be communication errors where you like you get disconnected or whatever? Isn't that the standard for Nintendo?
Here's the thing, and this is just a hard truth that nobody wants to hear, but somebody has to say. Mm-hmm. All right. There is like a lag built in to these multiplayer Mario games because the bubble's getting hit and it like does that annoying pause thing even when you're local that I don't think the dum-dums Nick Scarpino, Snowbike Mike, and Andy Cortez understood when we did our Mario 3D World streams. The Mario 3D World online is, I'm not going to say the best online of all time. Yeah. It is not nearly as bad as they act like it is. It's actually a problem with the game. Okay. But I didn't want to say that. Nobody tell them that, okay?
Okay.
Nobody tell them that. All right, Barrett, where are you going? Don't tell them, Barrett. Barrett's running to tell them. Barrett actually got up and ran out.
Crazy news, Andy's not here, so I think Barrett's going to Texas. hopping on a plane right now.
So I feel like I don't expect it to be a fantastic experience, but yeah. I expect it to work.
I'm so curious to see how they do it, like how not online, but I guess online, but multiplayer works in Sonic Superstars because I think it's a fun idea in theory when you think about how well it's worked for New Super Mario Brothers. Like, that's such a fun way to play the game. That is the way to play the game.
I don't agree.
No, with New Super Mario Brothers?
Fucking hate it. It's a different game. Really? Different game, and I appreciate it for what it is, the chaos of the competitive co-op nature of it all. Mm. But hell no, dude. Single player through and through those things, man.
I am definitely more on the multiplayer co-op side. Like, and maybe that...
You also don't like these games that much.
The New Super Mario Brothers games?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I like them. I just don't... I don't put them up with, like... Mario 3 and Mario World and Mario 1 and stuff, right? But like, I think they're still really fun games. And I think the when I look at Mario, for me, 2D Mario is a communal experience in a weird way. Maybe this might be just me, but like,
I get it.
Growing up, right, it was me and my siblings playing Mario 3 and Mario World and stuff, right? Or it was me and Addison playing Mario World. And so like, I associate playing Mario with other people and passing the controller back and forth and like doing the thing where we go in Mario 3 where we like go to the Mario Brothers mini game that's in there and then like fighting each other and annoying the other person because they didn't want you to go there. They wanted to keep playing the game.
I love the shared experience.
Yeah.
We all
I'm like, as soon as I start talking about it, I'm like, I know other people feel this too because we all did this. But I like that communal experience of Mario, and New Super Mario Brothers captures that better than any other Mario game because it literally has that built into, hey, we're all playing on the same screen. You have you press the A button on the sideways Wiimote to like get into the bubble if you want to bubble up, if you want to be lazy for that level and like have your friend carry you through and then they'll pop you or whatever. That for me is the game. That's like the one I don't think I've played the New Super Mario Brothers single player. Like, I don't think I've done that actually. Out. I think I've only played those co-op.
You're missing out, man. You have
Am
a
I though?
You are, dude. New Super Mario Bros. U on the port on the Switch. When there's a lull in gaming at some point, you're like, I'm looking for.
I started that though. When it came to Switch, I played. I want to say half of it. I played like the first four worlds or whatever. And after a while, I was like, all right, this is cool, and I put it down. Right, like it's not the same without having somebody there with you. You need the debauchery. You need the chaos.
Now, here's the thing: do we need the chaos in a Sonic game? Because I do not see this being good at all. I already am on the side that I don't think it works that great in Mario. It's super fun, but I feel like not the ideal way for me to play in a Sonic game. Hell no.
Yeah, what are the things they're doing to account for the speediness of Sonic and like how chaotic navigating a level is in Sonic? Because in Sonic, you are, oh, I'm going to take the downward path. I'm going to get launched up in the air and then like fly to the side of the level or whatever. That's what Sonic is, and I don't know how that translates to people playing on the same screen unless there's a split screen. And do you want a split screen? I don't really like that kind of experience. I think the OG Sonics had a split screen mode.
Oh yeah,
that wasn't the way to play that.
They split it horizontally, and it made everything super squished and weird.
No, like I don't want.
Still did it,
though. I don't want that out of Sonic Superstars, and so I don't know. An online experience I think makes sense because then you're just focusing on whatever your screen is, and again, that defeats the purpose of, well, if I'm over here and they're all the way over there, why are we playing this co-op anyway? I don't know how they do it, but
yeah.
I don't know. I think it's worth trying. I think if they're able to hone that in and figure out how to keep things focused in on making that co-op experience work and making that interactivity happen between players, I think they could capture some of the magic of New Super Mario Brothers multiplayer. But
thank you, Barrett.
Know. Yeah, Barrett brought up Sonic. Split screen.
So real quick, let's end the Sonic story with a question, Bless. Sonic Superstars, we played it just a little bit, not too much. It felt right. feels like Sonic should, a 2D Sonic should feel. Some of the added concepts there of the abilities are like potentially cool. We didn't really get to see him too cool, but like I see it. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, there was the one ability where like you turn into like a water droplet or something, you climb up a waterfall.
Very Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom style.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is cool. Like there's, I can see that turning into something. I don't love the visual identity of this, blah, 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 that type of stuff. Do you think that this game has the chance to be in the conversation of one of the best 2D Sonic games? Like, obviously, we love Mania, and it's up there. We talk about generations a lot. I don't know that this is going to necessarily be in the same type of conversation as Sonic 2 and 3 and that stuff. But, like, do you think that this has the chance to be better than Generations?
Generations? I mean, I think it has the chance. I don't think it's... I wouldn't put money on it being on, like, the high end of Sonic games, like, one of the best Sonic games. Because I think... This might be a hot take, and I think you might disagree, but I think when it comes to what we want out of a peak Sonic game, I don't think it comes down to gameplay. I think it comes down to presentation. I think it comes down to vibes. I think it comes down to nostalgia. Sonic Mania had great gameplay. Like Sonic, and that's unique about Sonic Mania.
You've just made my eye twitch.
Sonic Mania is unique for having great gameplay as a Sonic game. Like, but the, what makes it is, it's a fun video game. It has such great presence. It looks fantastic. Has an amazing soundtrack. It has dope level design, right? It has all these elements that make us fall in love with it. Sonic Generations had all that nostalgia built into it, right? And I think that game was pretty fun to play, too. But, like, if we're ranking a Sonic Generations by gameplay purely, it's like... 7 or 8 out of 10.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I'd probably even be closer to a 7 out of 10 than an 8 out of 10 for Sonic Generations. But once you add in the references, the music, the nostalgia, like how well they captured the history of Sonic, then it's like, no, this is a great game. Like, this is now an 8 or 9, in my opinion.
Yeah, okay, yeah, sure. I'm actually entirely with what you're saying there. I think 7.5 is even with all that stuff for Sonic Generations.
My thing is, what is Sonic Superstars going to capture out of that? Because I think for me, the aesthetic is already like, I'm not in love with
it. I'm down on it. Yeah. So it's like, but the gameplay feels right. So it's, to me, it's more about the abilities and what they do to differentiate it. I feel adding the multiplayer gives me more fear than hope for this one. But we'll see. Between this and Mario Wonder, I feel like there's a lot on the shoulders of both Sonic and Mario competing in the most direct way they have in decades.
Are they competing?
I mean, to me, they are, sure. Right?
I guess
to
us, hearts,
the players,
yeah.
Right? Like, that are going to be playing these games. Like, I'm probably going to 100% both of these games. And I feel like they should be closer in quality than they're going to be. I also understand we're talking about Mario, man. But I am worried that Mario, from the other side, that they're going to be competing closer, where I expect that this Sonic's going to be better than most Sonics. And I don't know about the quality of this Mario.
Really?
We'll see.
I'm so sold on Mario Wonder.
Yeah?
I know we keep going along in the story, and this wasn't supposed to be this long, but... What do you think sells more between Mario Wonder
Don't be
and
stupid.
Sonic Superstars?
Don't be fucking stupid.
Sonic is multi-platform.
I know it is. Yeah, no. Mario's going to sell so well. People aren't ready. People aren't prepared, man. They're like, 2D Mario, it's not
AAA. What do you think, 15 mil, 20 mil?
I think when all said and done, closer to 30.
Wow, you think 30 mil for Mario Wonder?
I do. I think
you're saying top 5
20...
Switch games, like in terms of sales. You're putting it up there.
If the quality is there, I think that we should assume. I am a little hesitant on, but we should assume. I'm thinking, being realistic here now, like taking this back now and thinking it through, 22 million.
22 mil. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, but right now, Barrett's pulled up like the sales of, or are these the best-selling Mario games? Is that what it's organized by?
Yeah.
So, yeah, like you got New Super Mario Bros. Wii sold 30 million. Fuck, and yeah, New Super Mario Bros. Wii sold 30 million, then yeah, you're on to something.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, between 20 and 30 million.
Yeah, I could see it getting close to Odyssey, but maybe not surpassing Odyssey.
You know what?
I give New Super Mario.
Fucking motherfuckers, 30 mil.
Damn.
Put it on the book. The Mario movie came out.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
It's a game changer,
the
man.
The Sonic movies came out.
You're right.
All
right? Well, hey, Jim Carrey. It's going to sell well. I think Sonic's going to sell well.
Well, how much do we think for Sonic? I'm going to say 8 mil.
I actually.
That might be lowballing, but.
Yeah, because we're talking about multi-plat there.
Multi-plat. But it's also,
can you look up Sonic games on this fandom?
Because I know Sonic things sell, but like, what does Sonic games sell? And also, is that a good metric? Because Sonic games are just all over the place in terms of quality.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to look into this deeper.
Do I need to change this headline to Sonic versus Mario?
We'll see. We'll see how things go. After story number two, a Delta Force return's been teased. This comes from Ryan McCaffrey at IGN. Developer Timmy Studio Group, TIMI, has teased the return of Delta Force, the classic voxel-based military first-person shooter that debuted on PC a quarter century ago. The new game will be a cross-platform effort spanning PC, consoles, and mobile. More will be revealed at the proper unveiling next week at Gamescom, opening night live. Large-scale multiplayer was a big part of the original game, and that appears to be the case in the new version, as you can see in the gameplay teaser, if you want to go check that out.
Yeah, and then I have it here linked for Barrett, so I think Barrett's probably working on bringing it up. But, Did you know about Delta Force?
No.
I did not either. And when I saw that this, like, I saw the trailer and I was like, oh, somebody's announcing a Delta Force game. Wow, that, like, cool. And I saw the trailer. I'm like, oh, this looks like a first-person shooter. All right, cool. And I saw this, that I then saw this story and saw that it's the return of Delta Force. My mind was blown.
Yeah.
I'm like, Delta Force was around?
Wait, okay. They said it was a voxel shooter? Which do I not awesome. Know what voxel means?
I mean, I think the same thing you think of when we say voxel, right?
Voxel's like 3D pixels,
yeah.
Right? So what the fuck, what's happening here? How is this a voxel shooter?
The old one was a voxel shooter.
Hmm.
We got to look up, we got to get to the bottom of this. We got to reach back into the histories, the history books, and find what the original Delta Force was.
Barrett, if you could look that up for a sec, that'd be cool. But while you do that, I'm going to move on to story number three here. More opening night live news, the trifecta, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Call of Duty will be shown at opening night live Tuesday. See the world gameplay premiere of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 during Gamescom opening night live. Barrett has the footage pulled up here, and gonna be honest, not seeing the voxels.
When you say 3D pixels, isn't that like a lot of early 3D games?
Yeah.
I feel like that's what they mean.
Yeah, this is 98.
Because technically I could see how you would call this voxels. I think the definition of voxels just evolved as video games evolved,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because all this is just pixels. Like, these aren't 3D polygons. I'm not a developer.
I don't know, but I don't like it, Bless. That's all I'm going to say. But Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 is going to be shown. The world premiere of all that stuff. Does this do anything for you?
Call of Duty being at Gamescom? Not much, but I don't get excited about a Call of Duty until it's in my hands and I'm playing it, and like even most of the time I'm not even showing up for a Call of Duty unless it's Black Ops is the one where I am like, all right, cool, it's my time, like I'm gonna hop in, I'm gonna play some of this. But like a Modern Warfare, I'm just not a Modern Warfare person.
So what's interesting to me about this is Call of Duty's place in terms of announcements on a yearly cadence, right?
Mm.
Back in the day, you can expect it's E3 time. We're going to get a Call of Duty showing at the Xbox press conference. Then they might show up again at the PlayStation press conference. Then they're going to, you know, just keep having the big old Activision, their Call of Duty stuff. As the game progressed, there'd be the multiplayer debut and the campaign debut. And like they would do all that. I feel like because of Summer Game Fest and just because of how the industry's changed and Call of Duty with Warzone and it splintered itself even, it's been kind of just Activision just kind of tweets things and just like kind of owns its own announcements and it doesn't need to be like the biggest pomp and circumstance. And it's still kind of doing that here, but I do think it's interesting that they're using Opening Night Live for these moments. Because Opening Night Live, I wouldn't really traditionally think of it as the place for the world premiere of a Call of Duty. But
yeah.
I think that it's the right place for it. And I think that it's pretty cool that they're doing it there.
Yeah, I feel you. I remember, what was the Call of Duty? This is a kind of funny.com/you're wrong. What was the Call of Duty that when it premiered, it had that big trailer with an Eminem song featuring Rihanna. I think it was either Monster or the other one, but it was from that album. Survivor.
Yeah.
Yeah, like there was a Call of Duty that premiered with that song.
That was Ghost.
Was that Ghost? I want to say that was like August-ish for a thing.
But that was late because that was for the PS4's launch, right?
That might be true. That might be right.
God, we're really old.
Yeah. But here, my thing is, Call of Duty, for Call of Duty announcements, do you think they just need to keep things fresh year to year? Because I feel like they've had an interesting cadence for the last 10 years of just announcing in different ways. Because I'm with you that, yeah, before it was around E3 time, either at a PlayStation or Xbox, or before that, like you would have a Call of Duty trailer. Yeah, you'd expect it by May or June-ish, but then lately they've been shifting around. Like sometimes now you'll get a Call of Duty announcement in Warzone. Okay, maybe now they'll tweet it. Maybe now they'll do a different thing. Is this them just being like, hey, we just got to keep things fresh to keep people, I guess, interested in the marketing cycle of Call of Duty? Not that people are uninterested, but like, you know, your Call of Duty, people are going to buy you anyway. And so...
Yeah, I don't think it's so much about them trying to keep the marketing fresh as much as it's them trying to just find the best ways to market what the products they're putting out are. And those products have just changed. Yeah. While it doesn't feel like that significantly, they are, you know, and you look at it, like even where they're released, how they're released, and especially with all the acquisition stuff going on, too. I wonder how that all affects even their plans, even though it's not supposed to change things. It does internally. So I'm interested in how... where this is going to go going forward, of like how what the cadence is going to be of these things, because like we're on our second round of Modern Warfare trilogies.
This is the second Modern Warfare 3. That's insane. Yeah, no, I mean, my thing is, I'm with you that I think Gamescom, for whatever reason, fits Call of Duty. Like, yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, see, that seems like an appropriate place to have a big Call of Duty blowout. Like, you're probably going to be the biggest thing there in terms of announcement. But I don't expect it next year. Like next year, I wouldn't be surprised if, well, of course it could be at Xbox because Xbox is going to own Activision, but on some level, I wouldn't even be surprised if I saw it at a State of Play or some shit, right? Like a Call of Duty reveal. Yeah. Because Call of Duty can just show up anywhere they want and do it. And I think it might even just come down to timing of, hey, we ready to announce this yet? Ah, no, not really. All right, cool. Let's just wait until July. Ready? No, let's just wait until August. Right. And like whenever they feel prepared enough to like, have that rollout, have that push, I think they can just activate at whatever showcase or event is around, and people will open their door for Call of Duty. People will let Call of Duty in, and so I think what
I don't know, it just sounds funny open the door for Call of Duty.
But yeah, I think they can just, you know, end up at any conference that they want to, no matter the time of the year.
Anonymous writes in with a question about our opening night live predictions, but bless, I want to get to those in just a second after a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Liquid IV. Y'all know how much I love to stay hydrated, and Liquid IV makes it easier and better than ever to ensure that I'm always living my best, most hydrated life. And you can too. Liquid IV, the number one powered hydration brand in America, is now available in sugar-free with 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. Liquid IV hydrates 2 times faster than water alone, and you can keep your daily routine exciting with 3 new flavors, white peach, green grape, and lemon lime. Let me tell you, the white peach is good. It's real good. We hear it kind of funny, swear by this stuff. 1 stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates you 2 times faster and more efficiently than water alone. Real people, real flavor, real hydrating. Now sugar-free. Grab your Liquid IV hydration multiplayer sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code kindoffunny at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you use promo code kindoffunny at liquidiv.com.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Snowbike Mike, if you're watching this, we have more Call of Duty talk to talk, so feel free to come in and talk with us. Let Call of Duty in. But real quick, Anonymous writes in and says, hey gang, with opening night live coming up this Tuesday, not Wednesday, what are your predictions? What closes the show? Does Kojima show up? It's a hard one to make predictions for. I feel like we've been talking a lot about this, where this is not going to be a major announcement show. Jeff's made that clear. We've seen the show for the last couple of years. We've seen Summer Game Fest turn into what it has, and Game Awards over the last decade turning into what it is. I do not see this as something that we should be predicting necessarily a whole bunch of things. I mean, we had a Gamescast schedule to do predictions for, and we were talking about it. It's like, can we even come with five predictions each for this that are worth talking about? Like, I'm sure we could, but like, I feel like we're just going to get extended demos of a bunch of things. I do think, to Barrett's amazing picture that he has here, Kojima's up to something. He's editing even more. He's showing us that in the background of this picture. This is a second picture.
What do
this
you think the items mean? Because yesterday it was the Rotten Tomatoes tomato. Mm-hmm. And today it's Marcel with a shell with shoes on.
Say that again?
Marcel the shell with shoes on.
I honestly, I mean, it's Kojima. He loves movies. He's always watching them. I don't know that they necessarily are like telling us, like, I don't think those are ties into a rumor or anything. If anything, it's just Death Stranding is his Hollywood game, you know? Like, all my actor friends. Maybe Marcel is going to be on the beach.
Oh, hold on.
Marcel is Princess Beach?
Mm-hmm.
But someone voices Marcel the Shell, voice actor.
I never thought about that.
Jenny Slate.
Becky G.
Jenny Slate voices Marcel. Oh. Marcel the Shell.
Does she really?
Yeah.
Shout out to Jenny Slate.
Maybe she's in Death Stranding too.
Maybe. Maybe a Rotten Tomato is as well. Whoa. We don't know. We'll have to wait. We'll have to see. But I think that Kojima will be there. I think Death Stranding 2 will be talked about.
You think Death Stranding 2 will be talked about?
I do.
See, I think Kojima will be there. I think it could be another number of things. Yeah. I think Kojima could announce a shirt. Like a Kojima shirt.
He's editing something.
Yeah, but we don't know that's for this. Tokyo Game Show.
Yes, we do. Stop bringing up Tokyo Game Show.
Tokyo Game Show is coming up.
Dude, he's literally teasing that he is at it. When Kojima edits something, that is in and of itself an event blessing.
Summer Game Fest is next year. Maybe he's doing that.
Summer Game Fest is next year.
Maybe he's editing something for Summer Game Fest.
If Kojima doesn't show up at Gamescom with a trailer for Death Stranding 2, bless, I will buy you a pizza.
All right, let's do it. Yeah, pizza bet on Death Stranding 2 showing at Gamescom Opening Night Live.
Yeah.
Okay. You think it's not?
I think it's not.
Hmm.
I just don't think Gamescom Opening Night Live is hype enough of a show to have it. Yeah. But also, like, I mean, I just opened up an IGN article that's everything announced for Gamescom Opening Night Live for last year. Because for me, when trying to figure out what's about to happen in the future, of course, you got to look toward the past.
You got it.
You got to look toward the past. And so, like, I go through, and they had, remember Everywhere from the from the ex-Rockstar people?
Yeah.
Remember when, like, recently they were like, oh, by the way, here's a game. Like, I think they might have had multiple games. Like, here's things we're working on and Everywhere. And it was like a GTA clone. It's wild. But anyway, Everywhere was announced then. Dune Awakening got a trailer. That's where Sony revealed the DualSense Edge, mm-hmm. which is kind of wild. Ooh, prediction. Fucking the slim PS5. Maybe that shows up.
The slim PS5 gets announced, but Kojima's not going to show up with.
Listen, last time Kojima was there, he had a fucking podcast. Last time PlayStation was there, they put out one of the best pieces of hardware of the last year. I love my DualSense Edge, and
I fucking love my DualSense Edge. Plus, last night, I spent way too long trying to figure out how to get my DualSense Edge to pair with my Switch. Which was like, hey, not that hard.
What are you doing,
dude? No, it's fantastic. It's fantastic.
Wait, it works.
It works, and it's great. It's great. Oh. Oh, so you get the 8-bit adapter. It's like $10. Plug that thing in. One button press. Boom. You're edging. You're edging in style.
Wow.
The haptics feel real good. It's not HD rumble, but it's like the best rumble I felt on a different controller. I freaking love it. Here's my problem. Mm-hmm. Somebody help me out there. Somebody must know. How do I get the back paddles? How do I figure out to map the back paddles? I have a theory. I have an idea. Mm-hmm. If I take the dongle and I plug it into my computer, my PC, my personal computer, bless.
Mm, your personal computer.
Use the 8-bit DOE program. Can I then map the buttons there so that when I put it back, it works? I don't know. Well, I don't know.
Not to get too in the weeds, but like I think a lot of the programming for the DualSense Edge is on the PS5 console itself, right? Like,
I know.
I don't know if you're going to make that happen.
I just don't know.
I mean, if you press if you connect it to a computer and you press the buttons and it registers as a button press, then you'll be able to do it for sure.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if that's how that works with the DualSense Edge. We have to see. Anyway, the DualSense Edge was announced last year at Opening Night Live. Callisto Protocol got gameplay. Lords of the Fallen got a new trailer and a new title. Moving Out 2 was announced. Hogwarts Legacy got a story trailer. New Tales from the Borderlands was revealed. Dying Light 2 got an expansion. Tortuga, Pirate's Tale. Remember that? Marauders entered early access that October. Sonic Frontiers officially got confirmed for November. We're for sure getting a Sonic Superstars.
For sure we're getting the release date. That, I think, is a slam dunk.
Yeah. There's Under the Waves. Gold Simulator 3 was there. Got gameplay.
So we get it. I mean, we already know. Kojima's already told us so many things that are going to be there. We're going to see Mortal Kombat. We're going to see Call of Duty. Like, we're going to get the Alan Wake. Like, we're getting a lot of stuff. Sonic. So I think that, like, the, oh, cool, big deal thing is going to be Death Stranding 2. And so Kojima will show up. I don't know if he's actually there or if he's just going to, like, show a trailer. But I imagine he will be if he could make it. What closes the show, Bless?
Remember last year when they showed off the Pokemon mini car?
Yeah.
Yeah. What closes the show? I mean, I would think it's a new game announcement, because that's usually how these things end. Like, the last couple of Open Night Lives, last year they had Dead Island 2.
So maybe not new game, but like...
But like, that might as well
might as well, yeah.
New game, yeah. And then the year before that was Saints Row being mm-hmm. revealed. And both of those were like...
Do we expect a game that's that level?
Yes.
You do.
Well, when you say that level, like...
You know what I mean.
I don't consider that like a super high level.
But it's higher than... not
like I expected to be like a game where it's like, oh shit, but then it's like when the game comes out it's gonna get a 6 out of 10.
TD Wolfpack says Borderlands 4 announcement.
No, it's not time.
Nah.
No,
maybe. Maybe.
I mean, I think if Barrett's Death Stranding 2 prediction is right, then I think you close it out with that, maybe.
Yeah,
because I think that'll be the biggest, biggest thing you got.
Lock it in. Yeah,
get your wallet ready.
Or the PlayStation 5 well, disc drive.
Honestly, Slim PS5 console. Slim, I don't think it's likely, but I'd give that a... I think there's a 30% chance.
The rumors are that that's happening this fall. And so...
So, I can totally see them talking about that. We don't know when... Like, Project Q is also this fall. So that has to be announced at some point.
Yeah.
And
maybe
if the Edge was last year, like, that makes sense for them to...
That is true, actually. Yeah, that for like that play, those PlayStation accessories. I'm locking in a PlayStation accessory thing happening.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Yeah.
In fact, add that to my Death Stranding thing. I only want a pizza if PlayStation accessory hardware happens.
No, but there has to be the Slim. The accessories, I feel, is an easier bet.
Yeah, which is why that's why I'm putting the pizza on it.
All right, but then I get a pizza only if Kojima shows up with the trailer.
Cool.
Ooh, okay.
And if both happen,
the man must be there.
If both happen, we both get pizzas.
And Greg pays for it.
And Greg pays for it.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. I like that too.
I like that a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. Let's move on to story number 4. Modern Warfare 3 has a new style of campaign missions. This comes from Eddie at GameSpot. Mike and Roger, if you would like to come to talk about Modern Warfare, please. Make your way to the studio. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 has been officially announced, and one addition to the formula this year are what's called open combat missions for the campaign. In addition to the more cinematic, linear, and focused missions that fans have come to know and expect from Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 3 has open combat missions that give players more freedom. Players will have numerous additional choices for how to complete a mission, Activision said in a blog post. For example, if you prefer to use stealth techniques, you may wish to undertake an OCM, that's an open combat mission, Mike.
Whoa.
With a lights out approach, using night vision goggles and suppressed weapons, and complete your objectives without your adversaries knowing where you were even there, the company said. However, if loud explosions and reckless abandon are part of your repertoire, strap extra armor plates onto your torso and hit those targets head on. That was a lot of words. Modern Warfare 3's open combat missions, aka OCMs, feature a number of vehicles that players can use. Additionally, there will be a variety of tactical and lethal equipment available, and players can pick and choose to suit their preferences. In terms of the playable space, Activision said there will be a sizable landscape for these missions. This will allow players to approach objectives in different ways. You can truly play how you want to play, and open combat missions will support it. The campaign creative director said in an interview with Xbox that the trademark missions from Call of Duty will still be in Modern Warfare 3. These open combat missions will not replace them. The quote there, Call of Duty campaigns are known for these epic cinematic storytelling, narrative-driven missions that take the audience on a thrill ride. And Modern Warfare 3 has all of that. But we've also added open combat missions that provide opportunities for you to tackle a mission objective however you want to do it, according to your playstyle. These aren't side missions. They're campaign missions woven seamlessly into the story, and they offer you more choices than you've ever had before. It sounds a lot like Uncharted 4. You get to Madagascar, and then you're in the little jeep. It's open.
It's open.
But not too open.
Mm.
Snowbike Mike, Roger Picorni, what do you have to say about this?
You know what this reminds me of?
Tell him, Raj.
A different game, a different series, Sniper Elite 4.
Okay, we're going that way right off the bat. I thought we were going with the Back Outside Boys.
Oh, yeah. Back Outside
Boys. Back Outside Boys. Get out of the way, nerds. You two squares don't even know what COD is all about. Me and Roger have been in the trenches.
In the streets.
The favelas. Woo! The streets. We've been playing Call of Duty since you were over there tying your shoes, Sonic. We're going to talk about Call of Duty.
When was the last
time
you guys played Call of Duty?
I reviewed it on the X-Cast.
I played it last night because, of course, Modern Warfare 3 had a special event in the war zone, and we got to get up to date with what's going down. Tim, this is fabulous news. This news, Roger?
Yeah.
Is hype as hell, big dog.
It is.
What do we want to talk about first? Should we talk about the open mission structures? Should we talk about zombies coming to Modern Warfare, Tim?
I don't like that.
That's a first time.
I want separation of church and state.
This is crazy.
Zombies belong in the church.
They're bringing zombies everywhere, also.
No. Keep zombies Black Ops, God damn it.
Roger,
that's
Treyarch's campaign first.
Yeah, really quick.
Okay.
I am okay on this. Like, I'm not super excited about this because last time they tried to do anything different, which was in Modern Warfare 2, the last one.
We didn't like that.
We didn't like it. No,
they had to add crafting, and they were getting real stealthy, and they're like, yo, craft this shit in the final mission. And then the final mission, spoilers for all y'all, just absolutely sucked. But it was lit.
Call of Duty is very good at one thing, and it is shooting. So once they start trying to branch out to diverging pathways and all that stuff, I don't know. I'm excited that they're trying something different, but I'm not too hopeful on this.
So here's the deal. I've really enjoyed the Modern Warfare campaign so far.
Yeah, we got notes.
We got notes, bro. We got to get
you a lot of notes.
We got to hit you with the real.
We're talking about Call of Duty without us. We're building
notes to Tim.
So here's the deal. I really, really, really like the campaigns thus far. I think they kill it with the popcorn, big budget action flick. I love the idea of them stretching out and trying. They tried with some crafting last time. Now they're going to try with this like more open sandboxy mission structure. Not all of it, but I like the idea of it, right? Because it gives, if you watch the trailer, which I know, you two jabronis, you didn't watch the trailer. You're not watching with it. Give some real intense Metal Gear Solid vibes, right? Like giving some real stealthy, real dark type vibes. And I'm liking that, right? And so for me, I love the mix, right? Yep. Give me the bombastic linear structure. Give me this open-ended stuff where I go through the tunnel, Roger goes up on top, and we try something different. I love that idea, Raj.
I think that's fun. And I also like that this is not the end of the trilogy, right? There's going to be more Modern Warfare games past this because it seems like they're taking their time. Now we're going to start getting to the thing of like Modern Warfare 2,
old Modern Warfare
3. 2007? Jesus fucking Christ.
No, it's not 2007.
No way.
No,
2009. Warfare 2, 2009.
2003.
Oh, 3 was in the team.
It was like 2011.
Okay, yeah. So 3 ended with starting with like World War 3. We're not even there in Modern Warfare 3. So that's going to be the next one. So Modern Warfare 4.
Advanced Warfare.
Wait. No. So this game isn't World War 3.
No, this game is not going to be World War 3.
But like, what about when the M like turns around and
they're not doing that this one. Now they're going to do 4, and then it's going to turn to a 3 probably.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But like, that's fucked up because like, that Modern Warfare 4 should be World War 4.
That's what I'm saying.
Like
the M
should turn around.
Can they?
That's the whole point. Is you turn around the M.
Maybe there's
if you can't do that
one.
In the branding. Why are you even doing it at all?
That's what I'm saying.
I'm excited because of course, if you played the event last night in Warzone, you got some nice little story pieces, right? Forrest coming back. Graves, maybe a character that you thought you killed in a tank. Well, he's back and nothing happened to him. He's fucking back on the good side as well, which was crazy. So I'm jazzed up about the campaign. Let's talk multiplayer because, Tim, that's where the money is made, of course. $1 billion in 10 days. Blessing, what was that? Was that a B right there?
That's
the billionaire,
a billion
boys.
Dollars?
That's what Call of Duty's putting up on the charts over there. 16 maps at launch. The original Modern Warfare 2 maps.
So here, listen to this.
Fully modernized.
They're doing the Modern Warfare 2 maps from the old Modern Warfare 2. They're bringing into Modern Warfare 3, and that is the only maps that they're launching with in this game.
Then there will be.
Now, is that good or bad for you guys?
That is,
well, there will also be 4. ground war maps.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah, there's ground war maps.
So this is a good thing, I think, in the sense that they are. This is a game that has been in development for only 1 year, essentially. Mm-hmm. So they are basically like kind of scoping out this game in a good way, which I think that they are just taking the old maps that we all know we wanted, that we all like, and then they're focusing on the quality of life improvements that we've been wanting for Modern Warfare multiplayer. So I think in that sense, it's good. And there will be 12 new maps that they are adding on past in the coming year.
In the post-launch. Yeah, yeah. 12 new 6v6 core maps. That's what you want. Of course, the big one for all you players out there that has been spending money and time carrying forward your weapons, your cosmetics, bundles, operators, all of that is coming with you. So that is a big win. Especially remember when we were all celebrating Halo Infinite?
RP,
carrying over the season pass. Like, now this is a big deal. Call of Duty, you get to carry all that stuff over, which is super, super dope. And we're elevating the movement, Bless. You can slide cancel. You can reload cancel. You can cancel everything. You can cancel
anything. Minimap is back.
Minimap is back. Yeah. So if somebody shoots with an unsuppressed weapon, you can see them on the
Did you know the minimap was gone?
That's a big goddamn deal, man. That's a big deal.
This sounds like some Apple shit.
This is some dope stuff. And then on top of that, Raj, let's talk about zombies.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, zombies is a big deal. Zombies is being made by Treyarch, and it's going to be an open world, the largest Call of Duty zombies ever. You will have four squads, up to 24 players. It's going to have a little mix. Mm. Here's the pot. We're mixing the pot. Little extraction shooter in there. Oh, you like Escape from Tarkov? You like DMZ? What if we added zombies in there? We kept feeding you the stuff that's hip and hot right
now.
That
sounds
awful. We got a battle royale. We got an extraction. Shit. We got zombies. We got the best arena shooter on the map. Call of Duty, they're bringing it.
They're bringing something. I don't know if it's a meal, but
they're bringing it. I mean, Barrett, you say that, but always remember, what's up at the top of the sales charts every single year?
People who spend their money Call of Duty without even really thinking about
it. The COD. That's Call of Duty, boys.
Call of Duty, boys.
We're back. We're back. Write it down.
Remember one of our favorite movies of the year, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem?
Yeah.
Remember the scene where April's like filming them? And they're all just fucking...
Oh, yeah, they're just, like, saying a bunch of shit. They're all the New York slang. Like, kids.
It's good to know we have our own turtles.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That was something. I was not expecting all that. In fact, when right before the show, Roger comes up and is like, hey, like, you still want me and Mike to come out for Call of Duty? And I was like, in my head, I was like, I don't even remember that even being a conversation. But sure, yeah, if you guys want to talk about Call of Duty, I was not expecting... That felt rehearsed. Like,
see, that also feels like maybe... You guys didn't have that conversation, and Roger was like, oh, yeah, you guys still want us on as, like, a kind of, like, hey, like, this was already predetermined.
The way that they were, like, Mike would stop, and then Roger would pick up as if they were giving, like, a press conference-y, like, that was really impressive.
It was impressive.
That was really cool.
It was something.
It was something.
But also, the more they talked, the more I'm like, I don't think I'm going to pick up this game.
Yeah,
but
that's the thing. They were, like, not selling me.
But the thing is, it sounds like they're selling themselves. Like, I feel like Mike's legitimately into that, which is, like, cool. It's serving the audience, right?
I just got a notification on Steam. Mike just booted up a game.
This fucking menace, everybody.
I like that he just walked right out of here and walked right into the streaming room and then, like, just sat down on Steam and started playing a video game.
Oh, my God. Story number five. Sega has completed its acquisition of Rovio. This comes from Chris Scullion at VGC. God, what a story. What an absolutely wild story here. Sega's officially completed its acquisition of Angry Birds developer Rovio Entertainment. In April, Sega Sammy Holdings stated its plans to make a tender offer.
We'll give you $3 million, sweetie.
To acquire the entirety of Rovio's outstanding shares and options at a total cost of $776 million.
They rub their back while they're giving the offer. What the fuck is that tender offer?
We're such fucking children. You think Jeff Grubb laughs at this when he says it on his show? I don't think so. Okay? Today, the official Sega Twitter account posted an image of Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles teaming up with the Angry Birds themselves, confirming that the merger has been completed.
Let's go.
The tweet reads, "Welcome to the Sega family, Rovio. We're so thrilled to celebrate Rovio becoming a member of the Sega group. Get ready for exciting adventures ahead."
Bear, can you bring up the image again? Tim?
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of questions. And they all revolve around Sonic and Angry Birds teaming up.
Yeah.
All right. So what is the first crossover we see? Is it an Olympic game situation? Is it like, oh, Angry Birds is a collectible or some shit in a Sonic game? Or is it like the other way around where Sonic appears in Angry Bird? Also, how many years do you give it before we get the official confirmation that they're in the same universe?
And they're the friends when it comes to Sonic. Ooh, and Friends. They become the new friends.
Or they're the little birds that Sonic's saving.
Oh, but like, shit.
Those guys have names, though. And like,
But they look like them.
They do look like them.
Just smaller.
That I think that'll be that'll probably be the collaboration, right?
I honestly don't think it's going to happen.
Sonic saves.
I think Angry Birds, this image is the last we've seen of these fucks.
Oh, yeah. It'll be separation of church and state.
Absolutely.
I don't think it's going to be like anything too major there. I feel like the Angry Birds, like, it'll be weird, smaller collaborations that are similar to what would have happened before the acquisition, but I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. I just don't see Angry Birds popping off in that in a way that's like, I don't see a 3D platformer Angry Birds.
I deleted quite a bit from this story, but it did seem like there was an inference that this acquisition might lend to like more Sonic mobile stuff, like, or improved Sonic mobile stuff, right? And I could see that happen the other way around, where like, I mean, not a 3D platformer Angry Birds thing, but like an Angry Birds, if this hasn't happened already, an Angry Birds console version, right? Like maybe on Switch, you have a new and improved Angry Birds game available, or go crazy and do the Garden Warfare thing and like do that for Angry Birds, right? I think that would be the craziest extent of it if Sega was to like take Angry Birds and want to turn it into a console thing. But also the question would be, why would you, right? Like maybe to expand, but also Angry Birds does so well as a mobile thing already. My thing is, I think by 2027, we get an announcement of like some kind of major Angry Birds Sonic collaboration. Because I do think Angry Birds...
Maybe like some sort of super game?
Whoa! No. I think it might be an Olympic game situation or a mobile game. Sonic Cross Angry Birds mobile game.
Mario and Sonic and the Angry Birds.
You're like... Because the whole thing of Angry Birds, I did not play Angry Birds growing up. But like, I imagine it's... You Angry Birds, you like tee up the birds and like you're breaking down like structures, stuff. Right?
Yeah, you're breaking down structures to kill green pigs.
Why can't you do that with Tails? You pull back on his tail and then like boom, down goes Eggman's big robots or some shit.
I mean, yeah, that all could happen. But my point is, I feel like that could have happened already and you just wouldn't have known.
I wouldn't have known. Like, tell me that exists, and I would not. Yeah. I believe you.
So we'll see where this goes. But I mean, I'm just surprised that Sega acquired Rovio. That is just such a never would have called that one.
No,
10 years ago, even 5 years ago, even 3 months ago. If I'm being honest,
something about it makes a lot of sense to me. I don't know what. Like Angry Birds feels like they fit the Sega aesthetic somehow, and I don't know why. Like I can easily see Sonic standing next to the angriest bird from Angry Bird, standing next to the Yakuza guy. Like, it all makes sense in my head.
And Ulala.
Standing next to Teddy from Persona 4.
Story number 6. Like a Dragon, Gaiden will include... Gaiden? Not sure for this one. Gaiden.
Yeah.
Well, will include an infinite wealth demo. New overview trailer reveals... This comes from Tom Ivan at VGC. Ryuga Gotoku Studio has published a new overview trailer and developer update for Like a Dragon, Gaiden, the man who erased his name. Publisher Sega announced in June that Yakuza spinoff will be released on November 9th, 2023, Halo 2 Day, for PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, and PC. And in today's video update, the studio director announced that the game will include a demo of Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, which is coming to the same platforms in 2024. We're planning to save more detailed information about the game until just before launch, but we really wanted to respond to your excitement.
Infinite Wealth is a cool phrase. I really like it. Mm-hmm. I really like that that's the subtitle for a Like a Dragon game. And
I
also,
like Tender Offer.
Tender Offer. I also think I like that they're doing this. This feels like a strategy from a bygone era of putting a demo for a game in another game. But I think this will sell copies of Like a Dragon Gaiden, right? It being a more of a spinoff Yakuza / Like a Dragon game. This is the fact that you have a demo for the upcoming thing alongside it or with it. I think that makes a lot of sense to get it in more people's hands and get people more excited about this one. And so yeah, good on you. I like to see this. I like to see it every now and then. I don't think everybody should do this. You know, no. I like to see this every once in a while. I think that's...
And they put out enough games quick enough that it makes sense.
It makes sense. Like, I believe... I don't think that I'm going to play this and all of a sudden, like, never see Infinite Wealth for another 4 years or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. I think this lines up with their cadence of releases.
Yeah. Barrett, you did a hand motion to me that I've never seen before. I don't know what it means.
I think it did have to do with giving a tender offer. Tender offers just sounds like a weird thing. I don't know.
It does. It does. It does. Nothing, Barrett. Is he in there? What's happening?
He's on his way to Texas to warn Andy.
God. Well, if he's walking in Texas, it's going to take a very, very long time.
Texas is so far away.
It's so far away. If I wanted to know what's coming to Mom and Grop shops today, where would I look?
You would look toward the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
He is in there.
Yeah, I was having a conversation with Kev.
Oh, look like you're out today, we got Bomb Rush Cyberpunk on Switch and PC.
That's crazy.
It is.
I've been waiting for that game for years.
And here it is.
And everybody's been excited for it. And
now
here
you
it
can
is.
Finally learn the truth.
Did they not, like, are there reviews out for it?
Let's see what they are.
I don't think I got a review code. So I wonder if others did. No, yeah, there are reviews. Yeah, there are reviews here. Ooh.
Ooh.
I mean, the one review I see is an 8.5 out of 10, which has me excited.
Hey, good for them.
Let's open up the Metacritic. All right, I see no reviews on Metacritic.
We also have Madden NFL 24 on everything. Texas Chainsaw Massacre on PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. We're going to be streaming that later. Mike's very excited about this stream. Ain't that right, Mike?
Yeah!
Hell yeah. No Creeps Were Harmed. Early access coming to PC. A Medieval, the Black Labyrinth DLC coming to PC. Some new days for you. Honkai Star Rail version 1.3 is launching on August 30th.
I keep wanting to check out Honkai Star Rail.
Yeah.
But it's just, one, it's a big commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And then also just too many games are coming out. And then also I know it's coming to PlayStation eventually. It's on PC right now. Just PC. And when it comes to PlayStation, I think that'll be my time. I think that's when I'll jump in. But I'm getting the FOMO with it.
A little you're wrong action. You can go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong to correct us when we get stuff wrong. Just like Skyler did, zombies don't only exist in Black Ops. They were also in Infinite Warfare, which is in the same universe as Modern Warfare.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like it either because Bless doesn't like it, and I like Bless, yeah. Everybody.
Just save zombies for Black Ops and the occasional World at War game.
World
Remake
at
World
War.
At War.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
Remember World at War?
Mm-hmm.
A tough title to say.
Yeah.
Say that three times fast.
Next week's host, we have Jared Petty and Gary Whitta making their return in person here at Kinda Funny Games Daily. That should be an absolute blast for y'all to stay tuned for. And then Tuesday, like I was saying, Games Daily will be the post show to Gamescom Opening Night Live. We will live react to it. We'll be here at the normal time of 10 a.m. Pacific just to hang out with y'all as a little fun pre-show warm-up until the main event, Opening Night Live. And then we will do our Games Daily post show breaking down what we just saw. Then Wednesday we got me and Bless. Thursday we have Bless and me, and Friday we have me and Bless. There's just so much of me and you.
I know.
Give the people what they want.
That's what they're asking for.
Once
the show started, I saw people in chat, Tim and Bless fire emojis.
Yeah, and if you like that, P.S. I love you. It's up right now, and it was a fire episode. Check it out.
Tim, I mean, let me tell you, right after this, we're gonna record that show where we talk shitless.
Yeah. What's that show where we talk
about? What's the show
shit?
Where we talk about the lists and we talk about a lot of shit? We're recording the shit list and we're going to talk about the 10 best health bars in video games.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. If you're watching live after this, we're going to do a little post show where you can get your super chats over on YouTube or your resub messages over on Twitch. We will read them. There's also a new thing called hype messages. Is that right, Mike?
Super.
Yeah.
Hype messages over on Twitch that function like super chats. So get them in and we will answer those questions as well. And then Texas Chainsaw Massacre after that. What a great day to be a Kinda Funny best friend. But until next time, I love you all. Goodbye. And here
Mike,
he is.
Did you like World at War? Call of Duty World at War? That was when they first introduced zombies, Mike. It was really cool.
I liked World at War. I actually like all Call of Duty games. I am a sucker for it. Every single year, I'm willing to shell out $60 and have just a grand old time with Call of Duty.
Like, there's not been a Call of Duty game that you don't like?
I mean, there's some that I like more than others, but there's never been a time where I walk away going like, man, that sucked. I regret spending $60.
Wow. Okay.
I've always gone absolutely ham on Call of Duty games every single year.
Was John Hamm ever in a Call of Duty? Feels like he would have been.
He seems like the kind of dude that
he should be in one. You know what I mean?
I saw somebody in chat said that World War II isn't hot, right? Like people aren't rocking with World War II.
And that's the vibe, World War II, like the era when they bring these back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of lost its luster after World at War.
Isn't that like
that was kind of the big one?
Like I feel like that's always, that always happens where like we get three future war games.
Yeah.
And people are like, fuck this, we don't want this anymore. And then you go back to classic and people are like, fuck this, we don't want this anymore. And then they go back to future. And then
you get a classic and you get excited and you're like, okay, cool. And then you're like, okay, actually, I want that M4 back in my hands and the MP7. And then we go back there.
Are people ever satisfied? Will there come a time where people will want to go back to World War II?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Okay.
Give it three more years. Let's get Vanguard out of our system, our mouth. And, let's do it. You know what I mean?
The thing here, the thing about Call of Duty.
No, I like Vanguard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's like there's ebbs and flows of people liking some. Like in the chat right now, people are like, oh, what about Call of Duty Ghosts? Call of Duty Ghosts, Snoop Dogg was my, you know, my guy. He was talking.
Operator.
And it's like, no, he wasn't the operator. He was like the arena voice. Like Halo has the commentary guy. Mm-hmm. Snoop Dogg was mine. So it's like, oh, I liked that. You know what I mean?
I remember that.
But yeah, everybody has different tastes in Call of Duty. I think it goes up and down of like, I want World War II stuff. Now I want to go back to modern. Mm-hmm. And it just flows back and forth. But like for me, I'm a simple man. Mm-hmm. I just want a new game every single year. I want to jump into the brand new maps. I want to experience the new guns. I want that rush of the first month or two of everything feeling new and fun. And yeah, I'm all about that.
Oh yeah.
I think the public wants that as well. As much as like the internet it complains, it clearly sells well every single year. So like,
but it reviews well too.
On. Yeah.
That's the other thing too, is it's not just, oh, it sells well. It's mm-hmm. they're giving their audience what they want and the critics are liking it too.
That's all that matters.
It's just the people, mainly it's the people not playing that don't like
it's
college.
The Titan. It's a gosh darn Titan. Hey, what up, everybody? Welcome to your Super Chat post show. It's your boy, Snowbike Mike. Back again, joining your two incredible games daily show hosts. We're back, ready to have some fun with all of you. Of course, you can get involved right now, whether you're watching on YouTube and or Twitch, through Super Chats, through Bit Donations, Hype Chat features, and of course, resubscribing at the Tier 1 through 3 level. Of course, let me know what you think of Call of Duty.
Do it.
Also, let me know what's up with Bomb Rush Cyberpunk. Why is there only one review from NoisyPixel.net?
What a NoisyPixel.
Did they break embargo?
I don't think they
have. The game's out.
Well, I don't think
game's
out. Yeah, but like what I think might have happened is that like somebody there bought the game at like midnight and just played it all through the night and then wrote the review. Which if that's the
smart
case,
move.
Good on you.
Smart move.
Like that is some
not
work.
Good on you.
Yeah, but also, yeah, you probably shouldn't do that. But still, like...
What do you mean? If they didn't give them a code and the person wants to be first out there?
Yeah, no, I get...
Look, that grind set mentality.
Here's,
I like
here's
that.
The problem with this. I just don't... I don't know what the content of the game, but I highly doubt if the game... Going off the assumption the game came out at midnight, it is now less than 12 hours since then that they were able to beat the entire game.
I don't know. Did you take a look at this game?
I mean, that's the thing.
It doesn't look that big.
Yeah,
but also there's a lengthy review.
Okay,
there's a lot of paragraphs.
Well, maybe they got a review code. Maybe they've been cooking up.
But like, did nobody else put out a review?
Did you?
Because I did not get a review code. No.
Okay.
But also, like, I mean, I didn't request one. I asked Greg to request one, but I don't know if he did it because he's been very busy. But like, what's going
Alfred
on?
Rain says more than 12 hours. That could be East Coast.
Right.
It could could have been.
And also, that's 9 p.m. our coast, too.
It is.
Remember
so many coasts.
Bomber Cyberpunk is a love letter that undoubtedly does more than enough to captivate Jet Set Radio veterans and those who have no idea what it is. Between the contextual, stellar soundtrack, fantastic movement system, and intricate narrative, you're bound to find yourself attached to some part of this experience that boasts its heart on its sleeve. Even though the combat scenarios can overstay their welcome and the pacing can be a turnoff, looking past those faults provide a one-of-a-kind skating dream. This is a well-written review. Orpheus, that's his name.
Hell yeah.
Orpheus
Joshua. Like, this review gives vibes of I didn't play. I like I'm not playing it through over the night, and then like maybe they're in a different territory though. Right?
We're working off a lot of
it could be in Europe
so assumptions now. Well, no information.
You request a code. You tell us what you think about the game.
I really want to play it.
Like, okay, well then we'll check back in with you next week as you play.
Oh,
we'll
I'm not gonna play it next week. I'm like, I don't know if you know this. I got other games to play.
Furry Bee Productions writes in and says, "Hey guys, replaced and abandoned." Are there names? I don't know what Furry Bee is referring
replaced
to, but something
abandoned?
During your stream was that.
Replaced and, I mean, those are two video games.
Those are two video games.
Replaced was that Pixel one that Paranoid
looks super dope.
About.
Yeah, yeah, abandoned we're waiting on that one.
Was the one that people thought could have been Kojima, but
don't bring
Kojima.
It up. Don't ever talk
and
about
we
it.
We never want to talk about it.
Oh, really? We don't talk about it no more,
we don't
okay?
Talk about
what if Abandoned shows up at Gamescom?
No.
Sky writes in and says, hey,
Kojima's editing the trailer.
Spider-Man 2018 and Miles to prep for the new game, but I can't seem to get into 2018. Am I missing something? Maybe just more time?
I can't fathom being interested in playing a Spider-Man game and playing Spider-Man and it not clicking with you. So I don't know if anyone else has any other insight beyond that, but like legitimately, it's like, it's kind of just the dream.
Yeah, like it's the most Spider-Man game you can play.
But I imagine like maybe the story isn't gripping them or something, which I think for the first third of that game, I think is entirely fair. I would stick with it a little bit longer. Like, the story is a basic Spider-Man tale, and I totally understand if you play through, like if you're playing through it for the first time, you're like, ah, like I've kind of seen stuff like this before. I would say stick through it, get to like the kind of get through the big second act stuff, which is like really where stuff gets interesting, and see if it's more for you.
Yeah,
interesting.
I guess.
Okay, Sky. Let's check in next week. Let me know where you're at, Sky, if you're jumping on that. CJ writes in and says, thoughts on Sweet Tooth as a MK1 guest character. We had this question before, but they really want to know with the Mortal Kombat fighting game Poppy.
I don't think we'll get Sweet Tooth. The Mortal Kombat games tend to have themed characters added in as DLC. And so, like, I forget which were which, but, like, one of them you had, like, a lot of horror characters, for example, right? This one, them leading off with Peacemaker, Omni-Man, and Homelander, they're obviously going for, like, comic book anti-heroes. And so I think if you're going to expect a non-Mortal Kombat IP character to show up, it's going to be, again, an IP character. I think, like, maybe a Deathstroke. I don't know if Deathstroke fits the same bill, because, like, those other guys are also kind of funny. I guess Homelander's not funny. Or not Homelander, sorry. Omni-Man's not that funny. But, like, yeah, I would expect, like, a Deathstroke-type character.
Okay. I think they look cool. I think Sweet Tooth would be fun. I think Sweet Tooth would fit the universe if they wanted to put it in there.
Yeah, I don't expect that to happen.
Mm-hmm. I think Sweet Tooth
would work, but
yeah, I think it'd work, but I don't know about this one.
Okay, I like that. Zig writes
Punisher
in and says,
is a good one.
Question for Blessing. How often do you update your video game OST playlist on Spotify?
Not often enough. It's tough to keep up with what game soundtracks get added to Spotify. Also, which ones get removed from Spotify, because I saw a few weeks ago people were talking about how Persona games seem like they're leaving Spotify. And so, like, you know, when I see that a game I like is being added, then I might go in and add in the songs that I like. But for now, like, the playlist is kind of set, right? Like, I've kind of done what I can with that OST playlist. But yeah, if a new game comes out and I'm like, oh, this shit slaps, then I'll go in and add it. But yeah, if you're curious, you can probably search it up, right? Let's see. If you type in Blessing OST video game, I'm sure it'll pop up on Spotify. I'm doing right now. Yeah.
Stahl, patiently looking at his...
Blessing's video game OST playlist is what it's called.
That's 215 songs.
261 likes, which I did not realize.
Yeah. People be liking this stuff.
People be liking it.
Social media.
Social media,
man. Be on it, bro.
Sound like you're 90 years old.
That's what it's all about,
social
bro.
Social media.
Connection. Follow him. He'll be there.
Ooh, Hi-Fi. I didn't add Hi-Fi for Rush to here, I don't think. So I should do that. Good call, Barrett.
All Fantasy 16's there now, too.
Put it on it. Put it on it.
Find the flame.
Rick writes in and says, Mike, you're rocking those glasses. Keep it going. Thanks, homie. I'm not rocking them in the lab because I'm so close to the screen.
You're also really not rocking them on XCast.
Yeah, because I'm reading paper 2 feet from my screen, my face. You know what I mean?
I mean, but it would be nice if, people who come through in the live chat over on patreon.com/
That's true.
Funny.
I can read them now. I can see them now.
Do you not have, like, the blue light reflective lens?
It has blue light?
Because, like, you should put it on while you're in front of a computer.
Yeah, but I am blue, so I'm soaking in the blue. You know what I mean? Okay. Do you remember that song back in the day?
Oh, of course.
What a great song.
What a great song.
Do you remember it back in the day in, like, middle school days? Oh, yeah. They had those, like, middle school nights where they take over, like, some sort of rec center or something.
It's always
like,
rec center. Hey, you could roller skate in this place. You're definitely not supposed to be roller skating.
You could swim. They would have, like, a dance party section. It's like, who's swimming when everybody's dancing or playing dodgeball in the gym? What a great time. You didn't have that?
No.
Oh, bless. I'll tell you what.
What a time. I love your glasses.
What a
like,
time.
They look
Thanks,
so good.
Homie.
The colors of them, man.
Yeah, yeah.
The eyes pop.
We'll see what we do with the next pair. You know what I mean? Got to find another pair just in case. Because I went swimming.
Yeah.
Recently. Mm-hmm. I was going to wear my glasses. Sunglasses instead. Quickly learned. Don't wear your glasses while swimming.
Yeah, no.
Those are gone.
What? Wait, did you duck your head underwater?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
While with the glasses on.
Might have lost them. Those are gone. DJ Kento writes in and says, I think we'll see an Angry Birds style game starring Sonic with Sonic design aesthetics, but put Sonic in the slingshot, launch him through corkscrews to beat the Robotnik piggies.
That's exactly what I described. Also, yeah, like I think that'd be a, I think that'd be a fun idea.
I think
that'd work.
It totally would. I just Angry Birds hasn't been popping off like that. Like, it's just like, I mean, they sold for a reason. They're not making money like they used to make. I will say though, on the other side of that, you were bringing up Sega doing more mobile stuff. Sega gets mobile games right. Sega treats Sonic very right on mobile in a lot of different ways, whether it's the core experience or mobile first experiences. I've been very happy with their mobile output over the last decade at this point. So, man,
after Sonic 3, the movie, then the fourth movie, collab. All right, we got the Angry Birds movie.
Yeah, we did.
Angry Birds versus Sonic and Friends.
Yeah, the emoji movie. Remember the emoji movie?
I can't forget it.
Man, there's so many movies.
I did not watch
so many movies. I didn't watch many movies.
Remember Pixels with Adam Sandler?
Yes.
I didn't watch that either.
Okay. I like that. Michael writes in and says, if the August Patreon pledge drive is successful, will y'all go ahead and do Kinda Funny's top 100 game list of this year?
No.
Okay. there it is. I don't even have to follow up on that. Of course he's Jose Cortez. Mike, you playing fantasy football, bro? 49ers number one. You know what? I used to play a lot of fantasy football. Not a big football guy, so when it comes after post-draft and you got to start making smart moves, you got to be aware of your team keeping up every single week, hitting the deadlines, picking up players, dropping players, making sweet trades. Never did that. That was where I fell off. So I always had fun with the draft. Then the weeks afterwards, I'd always lose it.
I just imagine, like, Mike at the pool goes underwater, and then, like, 10 feet away, there's a family swimming, and they just see some fucking sunglasses pop up out of the water, and nowhere and go, whoa, where'd those go?
Well, they didn't pop up unless they were just gone. They went. And I wasn't fast enough.
What do you think was going to happen?
I wasn't fast enough.
Real quick, I want to expand on that.
Take a shower with a watch on.
Just a little bit more, because I'm not joking that is the answer, but also I don't want to be an asshole about it. The top 100 games thing is a big dream project for a lot of us here, Kinda Funny. We want to do it. We want to do it right. That would be a monumental effort for us to pull off.
Do you know how much math I have to do?
It would be wild, and like we want to do it. But yeah, that was one of the higher goals on our thermometer that we did not hit. So that would require a totally different thing. This pledge drive we're doing is more just awareness of what we're currently doing. We're not asking for more to fund anything. This is more just like, hey, we're doing this cool stuff. Support to get the cool stuff. So the top 100 games, it couldn't happen this year. If we wanted it to, like, there's just not enough time to get that all going. But
I'll say,
we definitely want to make that happen.
If you get us $500 more, I'll tell you my top 10 games of 2019.
Wow.
I'll tweet it. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. You're welcome. $100 more.
The bravery.
$500 more. You know what? Fuck it. $100 more.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Venmo That's blessing threat, $10. Everyone. He'll tell you his top 10 favorite games of last year.
2019.
CJ. Another question for Bless and Mike. Is BG3 playthrough now on indefinite hiatus?
Yes, it is. I got to a good stopping point. Like, I completed the Goblin Camp mission, which was one that I swear to God I was on for like 15 hours.
Well, you got to go into the Goblin Camp to rescue multiple people?
Halson, and then take out like the three Goblin Camp leaders. And let me tell you, I set that place on fucking fire.
Damn.
By the time I was finished with it, dude, I burned that place to the fucking ground. Anytime I come around the Goblin Camp now, it's on site. Like, nuh-uh. Like,
you didn't
want
to use your super eye powers? Flex on them?
No, because like I'm scared of that.
You got to embrace it. Why? See a lot of people, Andy, not embracing.
But like the game implies
that. Let the worm take over. You know what I mean? Let it become you.
The game implies that the worm is evil. Like every time you use it, it's like, darkness is overtaking. I'm like, no, I don't. Then I'm not going to use it. I don't even use the upgrades that I get with it, because you know how like now you can collect them from other Olithid parasite people, and then like have it infect parts of your brain to get upgrades.
Yeah,
even that I get worried about. I'm like, is this okay? Is my character going to survive this? But no, I got to the end of that mission, and then I did like after that mission, there's like a camp thing that happens. I did that, and it was really fun. And then right as I finished that up. that timed out perfectly to where I'm like, all right, cool. I can take a break from this and now worry about games that I'm reviewing. And so my next thing is going to, like, I forget what they call it. It's like the underground, the Underdark. Underdark is what it is. That's like my next thing and like going on to the next big quest. But yeah, I'm at a solid 20 hours. I'm at a good break point, so I'm going to put it down.
You're
going to
pause.
Yeah, this is where I'm going to pause, and then I'll come back later.
No, it's not hiatus for me. I am 100% back in it. Me, Andy, and Roger will be playing it next week when Andy returns. We're going to have more just fun multiplayer shenanigans. So, like, no, this is, like, game of the year right now. This might be taking over Final Fantasy for me. So, put it in me. I'm all
letting
about
the Mind Goblin get you.
Oh, dude, just embrace the Mind Goblin. Let, you know, Nick Scarpinome make all the wrong decisions. I don't care. Let's go wild, man. We've killed some people. We have done some things in this video game that you cannot come back from, and it's totally worth it.
Yeah, it's such a fun game. It's like the tough thing is that this game is so fucking long and deep, and I could see myself, if I finished this game by the end of the year, I could see it being my one or two. Like, I think it's in competition with Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. Like, that's how good I think this game is.
It's good. Awesome.
And that's the conversation I think it's going to have in the industry. Like, this game better be nominated for, like, Game Awards Game of the Year. And if it is, I think there is a chance that it overtakes Zelda. Like, I think at the end of the day, I'm still more impressed with what Zelda does just in terms of the fact that, like, that game doesn't break, dude. And you have so many things you can do with that game. Like, that game, I don't understand how that game exists, right? But Baldur's Gate 3, I understand how it exists. It exists because they took their time and they took their effort and they like really let it marinate and they did early access right. And like so much went into making Baldur's Gate 3 what it is. And because of that, it is one of the best RPGs so far from just the first 20 hours that I've gotten to play. And because of that, like I could see the argument for it for Game of the Year. I think it is going to come down to a lot of people being like, you know, I've had that Zelda experience before in a Breath of the Wild, right? But like Tears of the Kingdom levels up versus Baldur's Gate 3. Pushing the RPG genre forward in a way that is really impressive. I think it's gonna be a really interesting conversation when we get there. We'll see what Starfield does, right? Like that the Game of the Year is about to be fist
in man. Man. JB writes in and says, how is Greg so low on Blue Beetle, Spider-Verse, but so high on the Flash? That's wild. All caps wild. You know, everybody looks at things differently.
Yeah.
Some people enjoy some things, some people don't enjoy some things.
And I can say definitively that Greg's takes on Blue Beetle and Spider-Verse are not the same at all.
Did he not like Spider-Verse?
He wasn't as high on it as we were.
Okay.
But he was pretty low on Blue Beetle. Different.
I saw
Blue Beetle. And even Flash, he was like it for what it is, it's pretty good.
If you don't like something, like it's a 9 out of 10 at least, Tim, anything below that, it's the same.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be willing to bet that he would rank Spider-Verse above Flash.
Yeah. Better. Okay. Greg Miller.
A man of taste sometimes. I actually don't want to say that. I don't want to
say that.
He's
going to play Texas Chainsaw Massacre with me in just a minute. Of course, it's Jose Cortez, my guy. Watching BB tonight, should I get popcorn or pretzel, Tim? That's how we'll end today's show.
Well, I'm going to go with two hot dogs.
Get two hot dogs for Blue Beetle. Now that I like. Here's my deal, y'all. Here's the deal, yo.
Mike.
Okay? Here, kind of funny. We're usually rushing out of the studio to go to the movie. And we don't really have like a sit-down dinner. We've never gone to Chipotle. Maybe we should. Just throwing it out there. You know what I mean? I'm not really getting a good meal before the movie, and that leads
because you're not ordering a
to
meal
to the snack line.
No,
and
Mike,
now
stop,
I'm in the
stop.
Snack line.
No,
getting Junior Mints, M&Ms, and Kit Kat bars. It's a lot of chocolate, Tim.
Motherfucker,
I need to switch up my game and get hot dogs. I'm thinking
you do, and you know I do it all the time. But Mike, you can't be saying this because you're referring to a couple days ago when we did have a plan before the movie and we did go to a place and we did sit down to get food. But what did Mike do? Where was Mike?
What was I doing?
It was me. It was Greg. What it was Gia. It was Roger. It was Lianza. We're there. People that wanted food, we ordered food. Mm-hmm. I was chomping on some lumpia. It was fantastic.
I love lumpia.
Greg's eating some freaking like tater tots and shit, chicken wings. Mm-hmm. All right. Roger's like, I don't eat anymore. Like, that's what was going on. Mike's over
Mike
here.
Doing? What was I doing, bless?
Like, where the fuck is Mike? Oh, he's in the bathroom. No, he's not. He's in the corner playing pool by himself.
Playing pool. shooting pool like you were on Tuesday night.
With three other adults.
Yeah. Well, they were all sitting down.
And we went there to play pool.
Eating food, Mike.
You got to work on your game, Tim. Just so you know, if you want to become a pool shark, you can't
don't
not train.
Don't misdirect the fucking conversation, so like,
Michael. Don't want to become
this
a pool
is,
shark.
This is
there's
about
Mike putting in that
you
work.
Complaining you, about no dinner before a movie when you had the
you
chance to have dinner before a movie.
Your grind, if you want to be the best at something, if you want to elevate your skill.
I've muted his mic. I've muted his mic.
His mic is muted.
It's all a misdirect, everybody. He's trying to distract you.
Mike has that, he has that grind set mindset.
I never want to hear Mike say grind set ever again. I never want to hear
you
that.
You got
out of
that
his
dog
mouth.
In you?
You got that dog in you? Are
Bear,
you really going to
get that
the
dog
mile?
In you, dude?
The hot dog. Two of them.
I'm about
two.
To smash some whoa. Hot dogs. Get a hot dog for whoa. Blue
two
Beetle.
Of them.
You'll be whoa. Happy. You don't want to get up during Blue Beetle. You'll never want to leave your seats. You know what I mean? You so make sure you wild. Pick as much food as possible.
What were your thoughts
there?
On Blue Beetle?
Can I share my thoughts on
you
Blue Beetle?
Of course. It reviews out right now. You can check it out. But, Mike, what's your
Blue
review?
Beetle was bad.
Oh,
Blue Beetle
was, bad?
Was one of the worst superhero movies I've ever seen in my entire
holy
life.
Holy shit.
I have cried after every single superhero movie that I've seen that I can remember. This one I did not cry at. This one
wait,
I
what are you talking at. About?
Like, truly and honestly, I cry after every single superhero movie because it just hit me.
Shazam 2.
I didn't watch that one. So
Black Adam. See.
You know, Dwight.
Did you cry at the end of Shang-Chi?
Name one superhero movie you cried at.
Spider-Man. The end of Spider-Man.
Okay.
It was good. God, Spider-Man.
Okay, but you're using that one example to be like every movie. Like, did you cry at the end of Shang-Chi? No, you fell asleep and
no,
then at one point you stood up like a dad in the back of the theater.
Wait, no, you're not calling Shang-Chi bad. Let's not.
That was mid.
Let's not. That no.
Shang-Chi was mid.
Shang-Chi was fire. Everybody knew it. I'm
muting everything. Let's all be real with each other. Everything after the big moments, the big conclusion of Infinity War and whatever the fuck the other one was called.
Uh-huh. Endgame.
Not been good. They have all been mid after that point.
Spider-Man No Way
it
Home.
Is crazy.
Stop just repeating things you see on Twitter, Mike. Yes,
I'm not.
Get,
I'm being. I'm
get
be
off the internet.
You. If you haven't
get
gone to those
Twitter.
And gone, man, this is good. Like, you're crazy. There's a mid.
Spider-Man No Way
Home.
What?
Half of them are at least good.
They're not great.
So Shang-Chi is great.
Shang-Chi
Loki is great.
I don't Guardians
know.
3, great.
Great.
I don't know.
Spider-Man No Way Home, great.
I'm a Guardians hater. I hate on the
we
Guardians
are quickly,
movie. Guardians 3 was fire.
We are quickly hitting superhero fatigue, and we are seeing it
I mean,
come
that I
it.
I
we are
with.
Seeing it come full circle of like, man, we have gone to the peak, and now nobody has a game plan to make things interesting anymore. You go to these movies, and it's a dime a dozen. You can forget about that in 24 hours. That guy you saw on screen, he's not going to be in another movie for 7 years. There is no excitement in any of these movies. Blue Beetle, you watch that, and you're like, man, this never should have happened.
Is Blue
like,
Beetle
this
MCU
was
joint
so
or a
bad.
DC joint, Mike?
It's DC. Marvel has. Okay. Oh my God, you want to go over to Marvel? We can look.
We've been talking
Marvel
about Marvel.
Movies.
What are you listen, talking about?
Oh
my, we were just
guy,
talking about Marvel
Black Widow.
Last
did
two
you need
minutes.
Black Widow? Absolutely not.
No. But like,
okay.
My
wait,
guy,
what about. Hold on. What,
Black
what?
Widow? Did you need Black Widow in your life?
What needs a weird word? No, Black Widow
was
is not
Black
bad.
Widow
Black Widow has one weird scene of CG where Yelena kind of falls back that everyone shits on. Black Widow is more than fine. It is a good movie.
I'm just telling you.
It's not bad.
That you go to these movies now after the big one, and they're just not that great. Even Guardians of the Galaxy 3
no, okay.
was not that great.
No way.
Dude, I'm telling
absolutely.
You.
I do not
fuck
understand
you,
people
they've
hate Guardians 3.
They've lost
fuck
the song.
I can't believe I'm turning to a Guardians defender.
Guardians,
your
Guardians
boy,
2
like
and
Mike
3
had to come out there
mean
and be
a
honest.
Lot to both. Like, both of those movies mean a lot to me. Fuck off with that opinion, Mike.
Guardians 3 is the best wild. Guardians, and I'll say it.
It's wild.
I know it might be a hot take.
It's
but
the
like,
best one?
Yeah,
also,
I think it's the best
person in the
one.
Chat who said
one.
Black Widow is
oh,
the worst MCU
too,
movie
good.
Has not watched every MCU movie. I'm going to be honest there. That's wild.
I thought
watch
Guardians
2 movies.
Was straight up not good. I thought Guardians 1 was pretty
oh
good. But
my
like
gosh.
Guardians 3, I think, is the best one. That shit hit me in my feels.
The latest Doctor Strange movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that one had problems. That one
had
problems.
That one
yeah.
was mid. Not good. Not great.
I liked it to personal reasons, but I get that opinion.
The latest Thor
that.
Movie?
Mid. That one was mid. I'm with you there.
Okay, well, we're and going down the list of like...
I know, but like, you can't just ignore Spider-Man and fucking Black Panther 2 and fucking...
Which Spider-Man?
No Way Home. Which is in our top five on our list of all of them.
I don't know. I thought that one was fine. Ladies and gentlemen, of course, those are my takes on Marvel movies. It hasn't been the same since we reached
the movie
peak,
podcast. Me
and unfortunately,
Mike.
I need to see something out of the superhero world. James Gunn, I hope you can save the DC universe. Who's ever running Marvel, Kevin Feige and the team over there, you got to get back up in the sauce. Find yourself back in the kitchen, get lost in the sauce, and create something good. Because I'll tell you what, woo! We've had a tough one right there. Your boy Snowbike Mike over and out for today's Games Daily.
You must have liked Black Panther too.
It was good. It wasn't great.
All right, get us out of here.
It was good. It was great.
Get us out of here.
Goodbye, everyone.
Get us out.